800 CJBQ and Quinney News chatting with, we'll call it an adopted Prince Edward County boy, Jim Cuddy. We're proud to be sponsoring two of your shows this year, of course, here at the Empire Theater, but Guitars and Gasoline and then Canada Day at Base 31. One of the things, Jim, when I go into interviews, when I first started doing them in my career, I'd have a bunch of notes and I'd write 100 things down and it kept me on point, but then I would never be able to pay attention to what somebody was saying. And I said, that's what I'm going to do today. And then there was 250 different things I wanted to ask you in 10 minutes. So I'm going to forget a bunch of them. But you're combining tours and the new record with the album signing events and going around. Tell us about the labor of love and the difference between doing something solo from the band.
Well, the solo thing was a bit of an act of desperation way back when Greg kind of went off and did a solo record, and I thought I'd be on my own anyway. So I did a solo record, worried that I wouldn't be able to do it, and I found like not only could I do it, it's what I'd been doing for 20 years. So it wasn't difficult, and it was enjoyable to have an outlet. There wasn't, you know, I think for all of us during that time, everybody made solo records or made music with other people. And what it took away was this this desperate desire to get everything you wanted out of music from one band. And so it just took the tension down quite a bit. So we've all carried on with our solo stuff. For my solo band, it's, first of all, I love working and I love writing songs. And it just ends up I write slightly differently for myself than I do for Blue Rodeo, just a little bit more personally and closer to the bone. And I really enjoy these people, you know. Yeah. I only see them when I get gigs together. So it's you know, making music can also be fun. I think that we realized that, you know, 20 years ago. We thought, we worked so hard at a career, and then you think, this is supposed to be fun.
When you're writing, and in the documentary I was watching about the process, that everybody was different, that you came with a lot of the pieces, but when you ended up doing the solo stuff, would you come to a fork in the road and say, is this a Jim Cuddy song or is this a Blue Rodeo song, or would you sometimes try it with both to see where it worked?
I really kept them very delineated, so I didn't ever want to feel like Blue Rodeo felt like I was keeping something back for myself. So I would fulfill all my Blue Rodeo obligations, then know I could make a record, and then I would start writing. Yeah. So even this last time, I was writing and recording for my own record, and Greg phoned me up during the pandemic and said, it's time for us to make a record. So I stopped that day, and I started writing for Blue Rodeo, and then we did the Many a Mile record during the pandemic, and then when that was done, then I started again. So I don't ever want there to be an overlap.
I want to share the experience that I remember 21 years ago. I didn't go to Toronto much, but I decided to go to Downsview Park one day with a few other people. And I found that out of all the bands during that SARS concert that you guys did, there was a point in the day where everybody was 1,000 degrees and there'd been a lot of in-your-face hard music, and you guys came on and it had turned into something completely different. And that was the day I remember falling in love with what you guys were doing. You do venues like this that are world-class venues, small, intimate, where you interact. And then what is an experience like to do something with a town the size of Hamilton all coming to your show, like that size in Toronto was?
Yeah. You know, I think that those things like SARSTOCK, or even when we do our annual show in the amphitheater in Toronto, those are very special events, and I think we've done enough of them that we're comfortable, and it's a show of much more broad gestures, and you want to make sure that everything's formatted to fit getting out there to the very back.
Sure.
But there's also playing for a crowd that you can actually see somebody in the back, right, and you can feel like you're having effect when you talk to them or to play something quiet. You know, the dynamic of a huge crowd is a much narrower dynamic than a dynamic in here.
Right.
In here, I can go right down to just myself. It's not, you can't do that in the bigger places, but it's unusual. So I think that for us as a band and for me as a solo artist, they both make sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm comfortable with both. And I wouldn't want to have only one or the other.
Right.
You know, just like at the end of the summer, after we've done 40 outdoor shows,
right.
Sick of being outdoors, you know, sick of the bugs,
yeah,
sick of the weather, want to go back indoors. And then after a whole year of being indoors, like, oh, get me outside. It's going to be so beautiful. So I think that the whole stew of all the different things we do is good for us.
It's interesting as time goes, and I loved watching the documentary because it shows the transition and the behind-the-scenes stuff. I was curious, as somebody who's been in culture, who's been in art their whole life, people hold certain jobs with notoriety differently, that, you know, that you don't often sit down with somebody that's a plumber or a doctor the same way you do an artist. What is it about humanity and art? What makes it, or what elevates it to a different significance for humans? Is that a lifetime to figure out, or have you pondered that?
No, I think that that's a very fair question, and I think that not just making art, but also appreciating art, you realize that that life is not just the infrastructure that's around you. It's not just economics, and it's not just the plumbing in your house.
Sure.
It is all the thoughts that go through your mind, and you have to be reminded every so often of how much you share with other people that you don't even know. And I think that the value of art is the response and how that response either matches or doesn't match other people. I mean, often, you know, we talk about a relationship, say, do you like the same music?
Yeah.
Or do you find the same things funny?
Sure.
And if not, can you bridge that gap? So I think that especially now in these times, our culture is fully recognized. I think that that's what we're seeing now. Maybe 25 years ago, Canadians were wondering, what is it that we like? Who are we? Like, what do we like? Well, I think we've answered that question a hundredfold by now. We know what we like. Like, the Hip did a lot when they did their final tour.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like the Hip or not, you recognize them as Canadian folk heroes. And so I think that telling stories, sharing the euphoria of music or art is a big part of why those people are exalted to a stature that they don't necessarily deserve. And yet, you know, I do it with artists that I like too.
Right.
I remember being tongue-tied around Jackson Browne and just because his music always meant so much to me.
We are about 3 minutes left, almost running on empty, and I wanted to ask you about the idea of you had the Toronto scene, but also, and it was interesting when we were talking before, I said, I heard you had a Picton connection. You said, it's Cherry Valley connection in Prince Edward County. That's very important. But tell us about the county connection and the time and how it perhaps molded or affected you growing up.
The county has always meant a lot to me. My mother was born here, like I told you, in Cherry Valley. And she was actually born in the dairy house. So she had a very humble start. My grandfather was a very, he was just a quixotic character. You know, always he ran as liberal in this area, which has been conservative forever. And so he was a very inspiring character to me. He ran a farm, a dairy farm, and I had a horse there. So we moved around a lot when I was young. And so this was the constant feature for me, was that farm. And then I went to Kingston for university, where my parents had gone, where my son went. Excuse me. So the area has always meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I have watched in wonder as it's changed into a playground for the wealthy.
Yeah.
That's certainly not what I grew up to. But I love it. I recognize why it became so popular. It was always beautiful. I mean, my grandparents' farm was on a lake, on East Lake.
Right.
And it was just the water. Do we want to swim in East Lake, or do we want to go to the sandbanks? It's just like, come on. Having those choices, no wonder it became popular.
Two more things. You had mentioned family and politics. I believe your brother was in politics as well. And politics seems to be the new religion of the day, or certainly hyper focused. Do you think what you provide people helps to break, you know, the separations or the borders that we put ourselves into by listening to a piece of art?
It's a good question. I don't think that's true. I think that, you know, Greg and I went out for lunch with Mark Carney, and that picture was posted, and we got a lot of negative stuff said to us. That's going to happen. I get it. There's certain people that want to the country to go one way. I mean, I think we all want the country to go a certain way, but there's certain people that feel like this person is a better guide than this person. Fair enough. And we have only stepped into the fray every so often. And for us, it's usually because there's somebody we don't want. Mm-hmm. And so with this, I think by us coming out and supporting Mark Carney, we're going to get a lot of people, make a lot of people angry. And yet, you know, hopefully that what we do share, like in terms of even just our music with each other,
sure.
Hopefully that rises us above that.
Couple of shows locally that were a part of, the Guitars and Gasoline. I'll ask you about that first. The festivals where you have, there's country and rock, but also what I'm assuming are lifelong friends in a lot of those bands that you see all over the country with each other. Is there a family feel in a festival like that?
Oh, for sure. I think that every time that, you know, I think that in general, in an overview, Canadian musicians get along with each other very well. I think that there's not the same kind of prize at the top worth crawling over anybody's back here. Right. And I think that there's always been this ethic, this ethos of sharing resources, playing with each other, you know, turning each other on to music. So yeah, anything that provides opportunity for us or for anybody to get together with bands they know, and we pretty much know everybody now. So it's a really good thing.
And we'll ask you lastly about Base 31, Canada Day in the county. Must be full circle from when you were a child. Had you gone to that military base or what the Picton airstrip was?
Oh, for sure. We went up there. We went up there.
Did you have to sneak in? Was it closed?
We went up there and scare ourselves when we were young and it was abandoned. Like, what was this, you know? And, of course, my mother and father both went through the war, so, you know, she knew what it was. And,
sure.
But, you know, it's one of those things that when they made, you know, the Drake Hotel in Wellington, I'm like, what? What's happening with the county? And now there's a big venue up on the hill. Yeah, it's a big deal. That definitely is, there's colliding memories for me, because that would be an abandoned and kind of scary place when I was young, and now like welcoming, and we're going to be play there. So it happened to me when I played the Regent Theater too,
right?
Because that's where I used to be dumped off with my brother to see double features when we were young,
sure.
Right?
Mentioning the Drake, I interrupted a meal of yours there a couple years ago while I was with my wife on her anniversary. Thank you for not kicking us away. A real pleasure for this.
Thanks very much. Nice talking to you.